It is good to be here with you again this morning. Thank the Lord to get me back at Oak Grove Church. It's a church that a few churches and far between. And when you go to, you can say you feel like you're at home.
Amen.
And this is one of them. I thank God for the people that are here. Thank God for getting us here safely, as I'd already mentioned. And
bless
you,
Lord.
You know, this message here relates to a lot of what I've said already about the songs, about what happened earlier today, about my truck getting a flat tire and all that. And, you know, I didn't really have this message until this morning. I've been pondering on it, and like I said, going down the road, thinking about it, getting a little happy in the Lord. And, but I hope it makes you happy. I hope it really rejoices your heart this morning. If you got in the Bible, turn with me to Psalm chapter 34. And I'm going to try to bring this out as plain and simple as I can. And hopefully when you leave here today, you can rejoice in the Lord and say it's been good to be at church.
Amen.
Psalm chapter 34, one of my favorite psalms anywhere in the book of Psalms. 34, and just a little reference here, Psalm 37 go hand in hand. I found through my years of worshiping the Lord and following the Lord that He has led me both of those psalms many times. And Psalm 37 is one of the places where you'll find where Dad quoted earlier about I've been old and I've been young and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread.
Right.
And there's so many good comforting words in these psalms. We're going to go to Psalm chapter 34 and read quite a bit of it and get right on into the message. You have to be much in prayer for me this morning. Right. The Bible says in Psalm 34 verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times.
Amen.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Right.
My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
Yes.
I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Nice. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing.
Right.
Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach unto you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desires life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry.
Right.
The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Mm-hmm. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. And that's the reading of Psalm chapter 34. If you read it, you know, it almost seems like it's a little bit of scattered, a little bit here and there. It's not really one long, like you would say, a paragraph. It seems like it's just a point here and a point there, kind of like Proverbs, just one point after the other. But there are certain things in this psalm that really come out to my attention, one being that he delivers the righteous out of all his troubles. Amen. I'm glad I can say for sure that the Lord delivers the righteous out of all their troubles. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and he delivereth them out of all of their troubles. Now, what's on my heart this morning is verse 3. There's a word there that we really don't pay much attention to, and I never really had until this morning. But it really has a lot to do this morning with worshiping the Lord. And it really has a lot of good meaning to it. And the Lord be in my head, we'll try to expound on it.
Magnify.
And it says, magnify. It says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Now, as we read this psalm, right after that, he begins to magnify the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. He begins to talk about what the Lord has done for him, begins to talk about what the Lord does for his people. amen, begins to magnify the Lord, to glorify the Lord, to praise and worship of the Lord, amen. He talks about that all the rest of the way down. I thought it was interesting there. This is kind of an introduction. It's almost as if he's leading the church service and saying, people, worship the Lord with me. Let's think about all the good things he's done. Lord, let's think about the places he's delivered us from. Let's think about all the things he's going to bring us to, amen. Hey, but he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. As I begin to think about that word magnify, I begin to ponder that on the way to church this morning. Got to thinking about what exactly does that mean. Amen. I looked over, I was actually going to start a couple pages over in Psalm 40, verse 16, where it says, let all that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Wow. And that's Psalm 40, verse 16. Amen. It said, the Lord be magnified. If I was to have a thought this morning, that would be, the Lord be magnified today. Amen. Begin to think about that word magnify. Begin to think about what it means. Hey, it immediately popped in my mind a magnifying glass.
Yeah.
Amen. We've heard about magnifying glasses, and sometimes they've got those little sheets. I've got one in my little pen holder there. Hey, that lets you be able to see the words a little bit better, lets you be able to read a little bit better. Amen. And you think about, I think every time I think of magnifying glass, I think of like Sherlock Holmes, where he'd go around detecting things, looking for evidence, looking for clues. Amen. To be able to solve mysteries and solve crimes. Amen. But I'm talking about magnifying the Lord. And when you magnify something, amen, if you think about it, it really means to make something bigger. Amen. God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and there's nothing we can do, amen, to make him any better than what he already is.
Right.
He is who he is with or without us. Amen. He doesn't need us. Amen. But we certainly need him this morning.
That's
amen.
Right,
hey, but the Bible talks about the Lord being magnified. And if I was to look at a magnifying glass, there's several things, amen, that a magnifying glass can do. And like I said, one of those things is to make things bigger.
Right.
We take the magnifying glasses like I was talking about. Hey man, if your vision's going bad, they've got these little big old cards, like I said, that you use to be able to read a little bit better. And some of them come in full-page sizes. You can put them on your Bible and increase the size of the words of the text. Hey man, I use this more to draw straight lines in my Bible than anything. I hardly ever use a magnifying glass. Hey man, but that thing makes those words bigger so that I can see and have a clear picture of, hey man, of what those words are saying. And what I'm trying to tell you this morning is if you magnify the Lord, you're making him bigger.
Right.
Amen. And when something gets bigger, that means everything else around it has to therefore get smaller.
Right.
Amen. I'm glad today the bigger we make God, the first and foremost priority in our life. Amen. The more we're going to be able to have our eyes on him. Amen. We're going to be able to see God's work in our life grow. And be able to see the things that God can do for us. And be able not have to worry about paying attention to everything else around us.
Amen.
You know why I'm not worried about my truck? Hey, because God's bigger. Amen.
Yes.
I ain't worried about no truck on the highway. God can take care of me. Amen. While I'm here in the church house. Amen. God can take care of that later. Amen. Right now here, it's more important for me to make God bigger.
That's right, brother.
Amen. God, magnify the Lord. Take that little magnet spiritual eye. Hey, and get your adjustment fixed. We go to the eye doctor. Hey, man, they've got them little old scopes that magnify your eyeballs so that they can see if there's any problems inside. Hey, man, so if you can't see, I don't know if you know this, but I wear contacts. I used to wear glasses about as thick as a bottle. Hey, man, and I'd be able to wear contacts and I can see things because they become in focus and become clearer.
Yeah.
And they're not blurred. Man, sometimes we need magnifying glass not only to make things bigger, but to make things focused. And I'll get to that in a minute. The Lord being my helper. Hey, but I begin to think about, Lord, what does it mean to magnify you? Hey, if I just make the Lord first. And the Bible says if you seek first the kingdom of heaven,
yes,
and all his righteousness, then all these things,
right,
be added unto you. Amen. Today I trust in the Lord. Amen. Because he's bigger than the problems. Amen. He's bigger than the worries. He's bigger than the troubles that come my way. Amen. You may be going through some kind of health issue. A lot of people are nowadays. But you know what? God's bigger than that.
Amen.
Amen. God's bigger than any health issue you're going through. Hey, yes, sometimes we pray that God will heal people. Amen. If it's his will sometimes to heal them, he has to take them on home. Hey, but you know what? God is bigger than any disease. Hey, it's touched the face of this world. God is bigger than Satan himself.
Right,
hey, Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Hey, man, he was kicked out of heaven. Hey, man, he roams the earth to and fro. brought him dead, sick, and we may devour him. Hey, but I tell you what, he's only a lion. Amen. Hey, trying to seek and devour all those that don't worship him, that don't worship him. But Jesus Christ is the true lion.
Yes.
He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the true king of the jungle, as it were to say. Amen. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. It's up to us to make God bigger in our life. Hey, if we make God bigger in our life, everything else by comparison. Amen. Don't hold a candle to the flame that God is.
Right, brother.
I think about the children of Israel. I think about how they went through that old wilderness that Dad was talking about earlier. And I think about how the situation that got them, amen, to the river there, the Red Sea, began to think about that. You know, as I was talking earlier about magnification, not only does it make things bigger, amen, so that you can get a clearer picture, it brings things into focus.
That's right.
You take a magnifying glass, and I've done this, I don't know how many people have done this, but you take a piece of paper and hold it to a magnifying glass, and you adjust that focus just a little bit. That's, if you think about it, a camera is the same way. You take a camera and you begin to put it up to somebody's face. Nowadays, they've got ones that have something called autofocus. So, in other words, they bring it into a clear picture, and they get that lens just perfect. And they focus the light the way it needs to be to have a clear picture. Amen. Amen. And I think of the magnifying glass, and you take it outside on a hot day like it's been this week. Get you a piece of paper and get that lens to where it's just a pinpoint of light on that paper, and it begins to burn. That's what they make lasers out of.
Yes.
Laser is nothing more than a focused light.
Right.
Amen. It's focused to such a degree that it's able to cut through steel and cut through all kinds of stuff. Hey, but amen, I begin to think about that. The children of Israel didn't really have God in their minds. They weren't magnifying the Lord. They were rather complaining about Exodus, about Egypt over there. Worried about how the leeks and onions and the garlic and the good things that they thought they had was back there in Egypt, the top of the world. Amen. They wanted the things of the world more than they wanted the things of God. Amen. We find in Exodus chapter 14, amen, that it said when there was at the Red Sea getting ready to do something, they were stuck between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's men. This is the situation they had. Here's what they said. It said in verse 10 of Exodus 14, when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us? Amen. Dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt. Is it not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians?
Right.
Or it'd be better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. I want you to understand, some of the Israelites were so adjusted, amen, to the Egyptian ways that they were not ready to see what God could do for them.
That's right, brother.
Amen. God had something bigger planned for them. He had something on the other side, amen, of Egypt and on the other side of the Red Sea. Amen. Called the Promised Land. Amen. Much greater than any leeks and onions and garlics that the Egyptians could have had them. Amen. God's people were in bondage. How they were serving the Israelites for 400 some years. And God was ready to get them out of that place, but they had become so adjusted. Amen. To the world. Amen. Those old songs that they sing that say, I don't want to get adjusted to this world. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get adjusted to this world. It's only a stepping stone to a better place. I think of Abraham. Amen. He was seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. Amen. He knew that this home, this world was not his home. Amen. He was only passing through. How about the Israelites here began to worry about the Egyptians, saying they're going to kill us now. You should have left us back there. Hey, but God had told Moses, in the first place you go down there and tell that old Pharaoh, hey man, that I'm bigger.
Right.
Hey man, that I am that I am. Hey man, that I'm the one that's going to deliver them out of the hands of, hey man, of Pharaoh. You can be my spokesperson, Moses. You go down there and tell that old king, let my people go. And as a result, that old king was stubborn and his heart grew even harder. Every single time there's a plague unleashed on the nation. And I've heard it said that the plagues represented all the many gods that they worshipped. Amen. They worship frogs. Well, guess what? God gave them exactly what they wanted. A big old plague of frogs. They worshiped the cattle that they was, had out there in the fields. And God struck down their cattle with all kinds of hailstones and bulls and everything. And everything came upon them because of one man, King Pharaoh. God said, I'm bigger than Pharaoh. Amen. I'm bigger than the king. Amen. I don't care what kind of laws this government passes. God says, I'm bigger. Amen. Any president that steps up to the podium and declares sin to be illegal in this country.
That's right.
God says, I'm bigger.
Yes.
Amen. I'm not anything without Him. Amen. I'm not anything up here on this desk. Amen. Without the Lord. I used to be a shy, still am. Shy as everything. Amen. I'd be like old mole. Wouldn't stick his head out in the daylight. Amen. Amen. But God, through the power of the Lord and through His anointing, through His calling, He's placed on me in my life. He's enabled me, like Paul said, putting me into the ministry. And I do what I do because God enables me. And I count that a serious thing. Amen. But back to the message. We find that the Israelites were not focused on the Lord. Amen. They weren't worshiping the Lord. They did not magnify the Lord. He wasn't bigger. Pharaoh was bigger. I think of Joshua and all those people over there. Amen. When they was getting ready after the Red Sea to go take the land, some of them people came back, the spies, and they said, oh, it's a big place. We can't obtain it because there's giants in that place and we're just like little grasshoppers. They made the giants and the obstacles bigger than God. And Caleb said, hey, let's go take the city. We're well able to overcome it.
Yes.
Amen. But Moses had to change their focus.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Moses was the man who... Amen. Couldn't do really anything and began to, amen. He began to be so bold and sometimes he'd argue with the Lord. And I'll tell you what, he'd say things to the Lord that I wouldn't dare say today. He'd call the Lord out and say, Lord, you promised us this. Now I've not seen it happen. He held the Lord to His word.
Yes, He did.
God wants more people like that today.
Right.
He wants more people that'll tell God our problems and be honest with God. Amen. And realize that God is bigger than all of it. Moses had to say unto the Israelites, he said, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever.
Love.
The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Amen. God was able to fight for them. Amen. Moses put God as the focus, not Israel, not the Egyptians, not the Pharaoh. Amen. He put God back in the center and said, God is going to fight for you.
That's right,
He is the one that's going to deliver you.
Amen.
And you're going to be able to witness it all. Don't even lift a finger. Amen. There's many times in life that we need to be like that. We try to fight things on our own. We try to do things on our own. But God is saying the whole time, if you just let it go and leave it there and let me take care of it, I can fight the battle for you.
Yes.
We need to put God as a focus. We need to take these spiritual eyes and magnify the Lord and make God bigger than everything else that's around us. Sometimes it's so easy for the small things to creep in. And the Song of Solomon talks about the little foxes that spoil the vine.
Right.
Amen. The little things can make a big difference in life.
Yes.
Amen. Little things can creep in.
Likewise.
Amen. Think of a termite. Amen. Just by itself ain't able to do a whole lot of damage, but you get a bunch of termites in a house. Buddy, they'll take care of that wood in a heartbeat. Hey, and that foundation begins to crumble, and before you know it, the house, it will not stand.
Right, brother.
Bunch of little things can creep in. I tell you what, you make God the big thing and He can take it
on foot.
Stomp every termite in your house and you'll be able to go on in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
More than a conqueror.
Good preaching.
He says here, magnify the Lord with me. Notice David here is trying to get people involved in magnifying the Lord.
Yes.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Amen. You see, one that won't do it in the church house. There's an old saying that says it takes 100 to go to heaven. 99.5 won't do. Talking about 100%.
Right.
Amen. You can take a person in the church house and let them be the only prayer warrior. Let them be given their 100%. But you know what? The church represents a body.
Right.
And if that one person is the arm, then where's the ear?
Yeah.
Where's the eyesight? Where's the leg? Where's the rest of the church at? It takes everybody pulling together.
That's right, brother.
Back in your pastor. Amen. Attending events. Supporting the church, spreading the word for a church to grow and to say that, God, we're making you bigger in this thing. Amen. We can't bring anybody else in ourselves. We've tried it on our own. But God, if you'll become the focal point and the center of our efforts, then we can see great things happen.
Right.
Magnifying the Lord. You know, John, there for a while, John was the forerunner of Christ. I'm talking about John the Baptist. He come in the spirit of Elijah, the Bible tells us. He come, amen, they called him a wild man. He ate locusts and wild honey.
That's right.
Come right out of the wilderness. Just appeared on the scene out of nowhere, amen. First thing we read about him, probably, I think it's over Luke chapter 2 or so, maybe a little before that. Amen, when he was in his mother Elizabeth's womb, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he jumped in her womb. And then after that, years after that, we hear about John again. Coming on the scene, just like Christ.
Right.
Amen. There's a lot of gaps in there. We don't know what happened in their youth and their growth. Then they appear right back on the scene, right when it's time for the important things to happen. Hey, but John the Baptist was a forerunner. He came and he baptized Jesus and he baptized all the people there. Hey, and he told them that I'm not the Christ. There's one that's coming far greater after me. I'm not even worthy to unlatch his shoes. I don't even know if John knew that he would come just as quickly as he did. Seems like right after he said that, here come Jesus out of the crowd being wanting to be baptized of John.
Right.
John felt so unworthy. He said, Lord, you need to baptize me.
Right, brother.
And Jesus said, no, you baptize me. Hey, man, that was part of the calling and the commission that he was to come fulfill. The Spirit of the Lord descended upon Jesus like a dove. Hey, man, and the voice thundered from heaven, this is my beloved Son, and whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. But I say all that to say this, there was a point in time where John, amen, had not become the focal point anymore.
Try.
I was looking for this morning, it's in John chapter 3 of all places, John 3:16. We know all about that verse. Right after that, he tells Nicodemus, right after that we find in verse 22 of chapter 3 of John, it says, after these things came Jesus and his disciples to the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison.
Right.
Now notice this. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. They came unto John, and they said to him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, he's talking about Jesus here, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. They were noticing that John was losing a little bit of crap, and they were following Jesus.
Right.
And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven.
Amen.
Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ.
Right.
But I am sent before him.
Yeah.
He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, you might say the best man, that'd be John,
right.
Which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice, this my joy is therefore fulfilled. He's saying the bridegroom has come. He is now in his place, and I am joyful to be at his side.
Right.
He is the one that the attention is to be paid to. This is one of the most important verses in all Scripture. John chapter 3, verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease.
Yes.
He must be magnified.
Right.
He must get bigger, and I have to get smaller. He's saying his ministry has to increase. It's almost like Jesus said when he left this place, if I go not away, the Spirit, the Comforter, cannot come. Right. At that point, Jesus' ministry, as he come to fulfill it, was over. And he had to magnify the Spirit. He was the forerunner of the Spirit.
Yes.
John was the forerunner of Christ. And John was basically saying the same thing. He must increase. I have to dissolve. I have to decrease so that his ministry can be fulfilled.
Yes.
We find that John the Baptist later on was beheaded because of his testimony.
Right, brother.
But Christ's ministry became to be fulfilled. And John said, the focal point is no longer me. It is Christ. He is the Messiah.
Yes.
He said, magnify the Lord, in other words. Don't magnify me. Don't magnify your pastor. Don't magnify your preacher that gets up here.
Amen.
Amen. The glory and the honor all goes to the Lord and God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. That who gets the honor.
Right.
Magnify the Lord with me, is what the Psalm of David said. And I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to know that you can magnify the Lord and you can be holy in His presence because He is holy, and you can see things done. The last point I'll make, and this just come to me as I was sitting there earlier. Magnifying probably can be used for more things than I'm saying, but a magnifying glass makes things bigger, it makes things clearer, brings them into focus, but it also reveals hidden things. Amen. You look at a magnifying glass and you try to find something, and you try to find it with your naked eye and you can't see it. But they have these magnifying glasses that are also called microscopes and telescopes. Those are nothing more than magnifying glasses. They make the space in the heavens bigger so we can see farther. They make the tiny atoms and the tiny cells in our body bigger, something you can't see with the naked eye,
right,
so that we can be able to see hidden things. The detectives use magnifying glasses and all these kind of things so that they can see, compare forensics and compare bullet patterns and all these things that they would not be able to do without that. What am I saying? God said in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer,
right,
and reveal thee things which thou knowest not.
Amen.
Begin to look over there for another verse, and it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that I think of this chapter as the spiritual discernment chapter, where he says that the natural things does not receive the things of the Spirit. Amen. For they're not obedient to the Spirit. They're not able to receive those things. He said, he quoted, I think it was Isaiah when he quoted this. He said, as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
That's right. Yeah,
until today. Right. Until Paul's time. Because right after that, Paul said, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Amen.
Right, right.
It used to be that we couldn't even comprehend what God could do. We still can't in this body. There used to be things that were hidden before that we didn't understand. But then in Paul's time, all of a sudden, he begins to see revelations and things that had never been taught before.
That's right, brother.
Amen. And one of these things, he says, God's revealed these things unto us by His Spirit. You see, the bigger we make God and the more we make God His focal point, the more we can get answers to our problems.
Right, brother.
The more we can get answers to things that are hidden to us.
Thank you.
The more we can get understanding and get deliverance and get direction and guidance into things in which we don't understand. We find ourselves growing in the Lord because He's becoming bigger. He's growing within us. Hey, and the Bible says, greater is He that's in you that's in the world. Hey, and the more we make God bigger in our life, the more He begins to swell up in us. Hey, amen, until we have, like Jesus said, a river of living water gushing forth from our belly. Hey, amen, it just becomes so much that we can't even contain it. Because we make God the focal point. We make God bigger, and God can now work with us. Ask and it shall be given. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and you shall find. God reveals things to those who magnify Him. I thank the Lord for being here today. I thank the Lord for being able to use me,
yes,
just a little, you know, willing vessel. I ain't much in man's eyes.
Man ain't right.
But I tell you what, God didn't call the wise. He didn't call the mighty. He called the foolish things to confound the wise. He called the weak things to confound the strong.
Right.
Amen. He can use somebody that's willing to magnify Him.
Right. Yeah.
Would you stand with me this morning? I'd ask Brother Dwayne, if he would, come get us a song of invitation. Just as I am, will be fine. Sing a couple of verses of that. And if you find somewhere in your life that you're lacking on magnifying the Lord, if you find your problems getting bigger, and you might want to have a talk with the Lord, right here is the time and place to do it. I think of Peter a lot in my own life, and I think of when he was out there on the boat. Jesus was the focal point until everything else started getting bigger. The waves started getting bigger. The wind started getting bigger. And we find Peter sinking until he directed his eyes and started magnifying the Lord.
Amen.
And that's when God could deliver. Think about it this morning as he sings.
Say, you want.